wanted to ask her what happened. I wanted her to stop acting like I wasn't old enough to handle whatever was happening. But in that moment, I knew all she needed was for me to be there, so I didn't ask anything at all. I hugged her and let her know she wasn't alone. That was what she needed. Mom fell asleep after a while, and I tried to rest, but failed. Around 1, Mom kissed me on the forehead and slipped out of bed. I pretended to be asleep, but I listened to her feet pad down the hallway to her and Dale's room. Once she was inside, I reached for my phone and sighed with relief when I saw the text from Rhodes. Come over. I pulled on a pair of yoga pants and a PBHS hoodie before quietly sneaking out. Although I probably didn't need to be quiet at all, Dale was clearly wasted and I knew Mom had left my room to go take a sleeping pill. She'd been self-medicating almost every night that summer and didn't think I had noticed. Rhodes was standing outside when I pulled into his apartment. He yanked the driver door open and I leapt into his arms, burying my face into his neck. He held me tight, gently took the keys from my hand, locked the Rover, and carried me inside. He helped me to the couch and brought me a glass of water, but I set it to the side without taking a drink. Rhodes opened his arm for me and I snuggled into his chest. Wanna talk about it? I shook my head, kissing the hot skin of his neck. He had already changed into navy blue basketball shorts and a plain white t-shirt, and his hair was still damp from a shower, but he still faintly smelled of grease.
You sure?
I don't really know what's going on, to be honest. Dale has a problem. Mom is treating me like I'm too young to understand, and I just don't want to be home right now. He nodded.
I know that feeling. Are you hungry?
Not really.
Tired?
Definitely not. Rhodes frowned.
Tell me how to help you, bug.
He lifted my chin with his knuckles, his viridescent eyes flicking back and forth between my chocolate irises. My eyes fell to his lips, and without hesitating, he answered the request I didn't have to speak out loud. He winced as his lips met mine, as if my mouth had burned his, and maybe it had. I felt the heat every time Rhodes touched me, and at this point, I wasn't ruling out that maybe I had the power to do the same to him. No matter how many times Rhodes kissed me, my heart still hammered in my chest every time his tongue snaked in to meet mine. He sensed it, gently laying me down on the couch. He moved between my thighs, his rough hand hiking one up and hitching it around his waist. I gasped at the feel of him pressed against me, and he smirked against my lips. How do you do that? I breathed. He sucked my lower lip between his teeth and released it with a pop.
Do what?
Make me forget all the pain. Rhodes stilled, his thumb softly grazing the exposed skin between my pants and hoodie. His eyes searched mine before he pulled me up just enough to strip my sweater over my head. Dropping it to the floor, he ran the pad of his thumb across my lower lip where his teeth had just marked me for his own.
I don't know, but I don't ever want to stop.
His mouth found the sensitive skin of my neck, my collarbone, the swell of my breast. He used both hands to push my tank top up so he could kiss down my navel. When his teeth grazed my hip bone, I bucked and he took it as permission to slide my pants down to my knees. Leaning back on his heels, he slowly grabbed the fabric bunched over my left leg and pulled it off, his eyes locked on mine the entire time. He did the same to what was left hanging from my right leg before dropping them to the ground next to my hoodie. Rhodes pulled me to sit up straight. My feet were on the floor for only a moment before he fell to the ground and hiked both of my knees up onto his shoulders. I gasped at the sight of his neon eyes piercing the darkness as he gazed up at me.
Give me all of your pain, Natalie,
he whispered, his skin hot against my center. Chills raced from the contact in all directions, blanketing me completely.
Let me take it as my own.
He dropped his mouth to my clit, surrounding it with wet, hot ecstasy. I moaned, gripping the edge of the couch and fighting the urge to grind my hips into him. He was sucking, licking, kissing, driving me wild. Rhodes slipped a finger inside me, and my hands found his hair, holding on tight for the orgasm I felt building with each flick of his tongue.
Don't hold back,
he growled, sliding another finger inside. It glided in effortlessly, and I bucked my hips.
Take control.
Using my hands and his hair, I guided his mouth, tugging his hair when he found the sweet spot. When he sucked my clit hard between his teeth, I cried out, grinding my pelvis into him. He gripped my behind in his large hand and pulled me even closer, nipping and sucking me closer and closer to the edge. "I'm so close," I panted, my hands flying to the couch again. I kept trying to grip the sharp pleasure I felt floating in space between us. I was right there, but I couldn't quite grasp it. He was so hot against my sensitive skin. Any time he pulled back, the sharp contrast of the cool air of his apartment sent a jolt through me. When I felt myself nearing the edge again, I squeezed my eyes tight, moving my hips in time with his tongue and fingers. Rhodes' free hand found my nipple, and he rolled it between his fingers, adding a new jolt of pleasure. Gripping his hair again, I wriggled my hips, and he slid his fingers in deeper, feeding my need. Then he looked up at me, dragging his tongue up my slit before sucking my clit hard as he thrust even deeper. That was all it took. I tumbled over the cliff, falling forever into nothing. Blackness invaded my vision and heat spread from his mouth to every end of my body. I felt the blood rush all the way down to my toes. As I came down from the high, Rhodes crawled up my body and kissed every inch of the way until he met my mouth. I tasted myself on his lips. I felt my soul in his eyes. He hadn't just taken my pain, he'd taken all of me. And I only wanted all of him in return. Chapter 23. Reluctantly, I slipped out of Rhodes' bed and drove home just before dawn. Though I barely slept that night, I stayed in bed until just after noon, dragging myself downstairs with just enough time to eat something light and digest before my training session. I was exhausted, but ready to work. Now that I knew my body had the capability to change, I wanted to push harder, see how far I could go. Still, my hip flexors were deliciously sore from my night with Rhodes, and I wasn't exactly looking forward to multiplying that tenfold. When I rounded the corner into the kitchen, Mom was leaning back against the counter, sipping from a large white mug that read, "But first, coffee." From the looks of it, she hadn't been up long either. "Morning," she said cheerily, smiling over the steam. The dark circles under her eyes were a subtle reminder of the night before. "Hey, Mom, how are you feeling?" "Oh, I'm great, sweetie. Everything is fine." I frowned. "Mom, stop lying to me." She took another sip, staring blankly across the kitchen and out the sliding glass door to our pool area. Sighing, I stepped in front of her and grabbed her wrists in my hands. "Mama, if Deal hurt you or if you're unhappy with him, we can leave. Just say the word." She laughed, though her face twisted in a way that I thought she might cry again. "I'm not lying, sweetie. Everything is fine. Dale and I are just like any other couple. We have our issues, but at the end of the day, we love each other. In fact," she added, taking a last sip of her coffee before pouring the rest down the drain, "he was gone early this morning. How much do you want to bet he bounced through that door with flowers any second now? Do flowers fix what happened last night?" She shrugged. "They're a start." My stomach knotted. I knew there was more that she wasn't telling me, but I couldn't force it out of her. Mom and I had never talked about her and Dale's relationship. I knew that they had started dating shortly after my father took off, and Dale had whisked my mom away in a whirlwind romance. All my life, I'd watched Dale love her like I wanted a man to love me one day. Now, I felt like I had been standing in a thick blanket of fog that was suddenly being fought off by the sun. "So?" Mom said, clearing her throat and tidying a stack of paper on the counter. "I heard Mason asked you out at Willow's party." I scoffed. "First of all, how in the world are you hearing stories from a high school party? And secondly, no, he didn't." I shifted. "He may have said something along the lines of wanting me back, but he did not ask me out on a date." "Natalie," my mom said, crossing her arms over her chest. She was still dressed in her pajamas. That's how I knew she'd had a rough night. Jillian Poxton did not lounge around in pajama pants and a t-shirt. She must have stolen them from my dresser. "That is essentially the same thing. And why are you telling me this story like you didn't take him up on that offer?" I shrugged, pouring myself a glass of water. Because I didn't. Mom's mouth popped open. I don't want to be with Mason anymore, I explained, sipping from the glass. I didn't see it when it happened, but I think him breaking up with me was one of the best things that could have happened. I don't understand. Mom shook her head, her blonde locks falling from the loose ponytail she'd tied. Mason is from a good family, Natalie. He could make you happy, and you'd be comfortable. I don't want to be just comfortable, Mom. I want a love that makes me everything but comfortable. If it doesn't drive me mad, if it doesn't break my heart at the thought of losing it, if it doesn't push me to new places and force me to grow, what kind of love is it, really? Mom appraised me for a moment, chewing the inside of her cheek. You talk about it like you might have already found it. I dropped my gaze to my water, tracing the lid of the glass with my pointer finger. She sighed. Honey, as a woman, sometimes you have to make sacrifices. Sometimes you have to make choices about what you need in life and how to get it. Did you have to make sacrifices with Dale? I lifted my eyes to hers again. She swallowed. Yes, and with your father, too. But every choice I made was to better my life and yours. She cleared her throat, fingering the sweatpants she was wearing as if she had just realized she was in them. They weren't always the easiest choices, but women don't exactly have it easy when it comes to the battle of life versus love. Shrugging, I finished the last of my water and dropped the glass in the sink. I don't think the two have to be on opposite sides of the war line. Mom eyed me again, opening her mouth to say more before quickly closing it and standing up straighter. I suppose it's something you'll have to learn on your own, sweetie. She snapped her fingers. Oh, that reminds me. I need to start a grocery list for Christina. You have any requests? I chuckled, watching Mom snap right back into business mode. Life, love, and battle reminded you of groceries? She stuck her tongue out and I giggled again, but when my eyes focused on the notepad she was writing on, the laugh caught in my throat. Oh my God, I whispered. You okay, sweetie? Mom had stopped writing, but my eyes were still glued to the page. Snapping out of my haze, I grabbed the keys to the Rover and jogged toward the door, grabbing my gym bag off the couch as I passed. Sweetie. Fine, Mom, I yelled over my shoulder as I blew through the front door. Just late for training. See you later. Slamming the door behind me a little harder than I meant, I sprinted for the car and threw it in drive, tearing out of the driveway. My foot was hard on the gas pedal all the way to the gym, and I parked across two parking spots before leaving my bag behind and running straight back toward the training room. Rhodes was spotting one of his clients as she benched just the bar. I was tempted to roll my eyes at the way she was drooling as she gazed up at him, but I had more important emotions rolling through me. I know where the note came from, I blurted out. Rhodes' brows turned in, and he eyed me curiously. I wasn't sure if it was because I was an hour early to training or what I had just said or both. What? I stopped his question with my hand, motioning to the woman on the bench. Wrap this up and come back to the office.
I'm in the middle of a session, Natalie, he warned.
Even though he had his new job at the restaurant, he still needed his training job and I knew that, but this couldn't wait. I gave him a pointed look to emphasize the urgency, and he blew a breath out his nose, motioning with a nod of his head for me to go back to the office. I heard him tell his client to take a water break and hit cardio. She whined, literally whined, and I ground my teeth. Before I acted on my annoyance, I closed the glass office door behind me and paced around the desk. Rhodes opened the door moments later, and I started rambling before he had the chance to close it again. It's from the marina, the note. It's Dale's stationery. I knew I had seen this mark before. I unfolded the note and smoothed it out on the desk, pointing to the small orange markings where the tear line was. The note was torn at the bottom edge, like someone had tried to tear off the logo. But even with just the top of it there, I recognized it.
I don't understand.
Rhodes shook his head, brows furrowed. This is the top of Dale's stationery logo, but see how it's an ugly orange color? Rhodes nodded. It's supposed to be red. Sometimes the notepads like the one this paper came from get printed incorrectly. It drives my mom absolutely insane because she's a perfectionist. But she hates being wasteful, too. She won't let Dale use them for anything customer-facing, so she takes all the misprints down to the Poxton Beach dry boat storage marina. They're always writing notes and putting them on the boat so the employees know where to put them and what customer and such. Since it's just them that see it, Mom figures it's a way to get use out of the stationery without hurting Dale's brand or whatever. Rhodes lifted a brow.
Your mom is strange.
Rhodes, did you hear what I said? I asked, ignoring his attempt at humor. The note came from the marina. It was in your sister's handwriting. I swallowed. We may be able to find some answers. We may be able to find her. Rhodes frowned, leaning back against the edge of the desk. He raked his hands across his stubble before crossing his arms hard across his chest.
How?
I know where Dale keeps his keys, I whispered. All of his keys. Rhodes' eyes widened at my implication. Are you up for a little recon mission? Chapter 24.
I don't even understand the concept of this place,
Rhodes whispered as I unlocked the large gate guarding the boat barn. I used to find it funny when Mom called it that, but that's exactly what it was, really. A big metal barn full of boats. It's just another way to store your boat. It's actually better for a lot of the ones around here. Keeps them from sitting in salt water and stuff. Rhodes didn't comment further as we slipped through the gate. I locked it again behind us, and we made our way toward the large building. The night air was warm and wet against my skin, and the small tendrils of hair hanging from my bun onto my neck were already soaked. Rhodes didn't seem nervous or tense as we approached the entrance to the building. I was both. We gazed up at the columns and rows of boats once we walked inside the barn. I clicked on the flashlight I'd taken from Dale's garage to illuminate them better and scanned the length of the barn. They were stacked 10 high and hundreds across, all facing us stern side.
What are we even looking for?
I don't know, Rhodes. Anything that might connect that note and your sister. His brows were furrowed, his jaw set. Why do I get the feeling that you don't want to be here? He sighed.
Sorry, I'm just not sure how to feel about all of this.
It was then that I noticed the worry hidden behind his strong eyes. I knew what he was feeling. He didn't want to get his hopes up only to be let down. Or maybe he was afraid of what he'd find. Either way, it was apparent that he may not have been nervous or tense, but he was clearly uncomfortable. Try not to think too much about it. If we find something, great. If not, then we move forward and figure something else out. Okay? Rhodes took a moment to process before gently nodding.
Okay.
Grabbing his hand, I pointed the flashlight forward and we dove deeper into the barn. We walked slowly down the main hall, shining the light between each row of boats and up through the various columns. Neither of us spoke and neither of us found anything to speak of. The longer we were there, the more I worried if I'd made a stupid decision. What exactly did I expect to find?
Hey, wait a second,
Rhodes whispered, his eyes trained on the row of boats to our right.
What is that?
I pointed the flashlight to follow his gaze, illuminating something shiny and small near the back wall. Rhodes glanced back at me questioningly before taking a step toward it. My heart hammered in my ears as we inched between the boats. When Rhodes and I rounded the front of the boat, he bent slowly, retrieving the object on the ground.
What is it?
I asked, voice just above a whisper. Rhodes was staring at whatever was in his hands so intently I wondered if he'd even heard me.
Oh, my God.
What? I leaned up to look closer. What is it? He shook his head, forehead wrinkled between his eyebrows.
It's hers.
He held the object out to me, a bracelet. It dangled over his pointer finger as his eyes found mine.
It's Lana's. She wore this every day.
He swallowed.
It was a gift from me when we turned 16.
My heart stopped. It was a small, dainty bracelet, a thin chain with one solo pearl charm, their birthstone. Carefully, I reached out to touch the cool silver and rolled the pearl between my fingers, bringing away a film of dust with them. It doesn't seem like it's been worn in a while.
What the hell?
He shook his head and I was at a loss for words, too. Nothing was making sense.
Do you think it's the person who took her? Did it happen here?
Maybe, I said, my stomach knotting at the thought. The soft click of the shutter sounded as I pulled out my camera and took a photo of the bracelet still hanging from his fingers. Every hair on my body was standing at attention, my fight-or-flight instincts kicking in. I hadn't been scared before, but I was now. It wouldn't be weird for it to be left alone back here. These are the vacationer boats. The employees are lucky if they get sent down here more than once a year to pull one of these boats out.
And you're positive that the note had to have come from here?
I glanced around, trying to find one of the stationery pages stuck in the window of one of the boats around us. Scanning the windshields, I finally found a sheet four rows down. Peeling it from its careful placement, I held it up for Rose to inspect. "See the bottom logo?" I asked. He nodded, and I pulled the note he'd found on his bike from my pocket. When I held them up next to each other, there was no refuting it. There was just a tiny piece of the logo on the bottom of the note from Rode's sister, but it was there. I snapped another photo. Rode pinched the bridge of his nose. I knew his head was spinning, too.
"What the fuck is going on?"
"My thoughts exactly,"
a rough voice responded. Rhodes and I turned quickly and were met with a blinding white light. Instinctively, Rhodes threw himself between the offender and myself, serving as a human shield. The light dropped and my stomach fell right along with it when I realized who was holding it. A cop.
"Shit," Rhodes muttered.
The cop was young, maybe in his 30s, with caramel skin and a dark buzz cut. His eyes were shaded but soft, as if he didn't like busting us any more than we liked getting busted. My eyes adjusted to the light difference, and I noticed his name badge read Martino.
"Do you two realize you're trespassing right now?"
"I'm sorry, sir," I tried, maneuvering my way around Rhodes. "It's my fault. I just wanted to..."
"And do you realize that because you climbed over that fence to get into a clearly marked no trespassing property, you could face a first-degree trespassing charge?"
He shook his head, almost like he was our parent, before calling out some sort of code into his radio along with our location.
"Couldn't even be smart about it? Flashlights? Really? I saw them from the road."
"And you do realize you're being a Class A fuckboy right now."
"Rhodes," I warned, shocked at his disrespect. I was trying to talk us out of the situation. Rhodes was ready to make it worse.
"Wait," Officer Martino interrupted. "Rhodes as in William Rhodes?"
Rhodes didn't answer. His jaw ticked, and he kept his hard eyes trained on the cop, who was now looking at Rhodes in a completely different way. It was as if he recognized him, or as if he was seeing a ghost of his own past rise right out of the ground. I knew Rhodes was in and out of juvie when we were younger, but had that reputation really stuck for this long?
"Copy. Calling property owner now."
A woman's voice called over the radio fastened to the officer's hip, breaking the awkward silence stretching between us. It was my turn to add another twist to the night. "Here," I offered, reaching into my pocket for my phone. The officer pulled his gun, pointing it straight at my chest.
"Whoa, whoa, whoa."
Rhodes stepped in front of me again, scowling at the cop.
"Are you fucking crazy?"
"Keep your hands where I can see them."
I panicked, dropping my phone completely and letting it shatter on the ground as I lifted my arms above my head. "I'm sorry," I said with shaky voice. I sounded weak, and in that moment, maybe I was. I'd never been in trouble with law enforcement. I didn't know how to act. I didn't understand why this man looked at me like a criminal. "I was just going to call him for you."
"What are you talking about?"
Shifting on my feet, I glanced at Rhodes before answering. "I'm Natalie Poxton." My eyes found the officer's just in time to see recognition set in. "The property owner is my dad." I'd never stared at my feet for so long. My eyes were tracing the stitches on my keds, following the lining of the laces through each hoop and back. I could hear Mom tapping her finger on the edge of the kitchen counter, and even though I hadn't looked yet, I could feel Dale's eyes on the point of contact where Rhodes' hand held mine. None of us had said a word since Officer Martino left, and I definitely didn't want to be the first to break that silence. Disappointing Mom and Dale was not something I was used to. Before now, my only offenses had been minor party incidents that they usually scolded me for before breaking out into laughter. It was child's play, something all teenagers in Poxton Beach went through. This, however, was not.
"Mr. and Mrs. Poxton,"
Rhodes started, his deep baritone sounding so foreign beneath the blanket of silence we'd been under.
"I just want to apologize for our actions tonight. Natalie had nothing to do with what happened. It was my idea."
I snapped my attention to Rhodes, mouth open and ready to correct him, but he gave me a stern look that made me shut it instead.
"Well, that much is obvious," Dale retorted. "But you're notorious for bad ideas, aren't you, Rhodes?"
"Dale!" Rhodes squeezed my hand tighter, but I refused to let Dale talk to him that way.
"Don't raise your voice at us, young lady," Mom warned.
I couldn't remember the last time she'd called me young lady. "Mom, it wasn't his fault. It was my idea to break into the boat barn tonight."
"Honey,"
she said the pet name with a hint of sympathy, as if I didn't know what I was saying. "It's true. It was my idea, and I'm sorry. But look, nothing was taken. We didn't break anything. We were just..." My voice trailed off when I realized I couldn't exactly tell them what we were doing.
"You were just what, Natalie?"
Dale probed. His brows were set in a firm, straight line over his hard eyes. "I can't tell you." I murmured the words, just barely audible over the hum of the refrigerator.
"Why?"
Mom asked. She was heated, angrier than I'd ever seen her. I glanced to Rhodes, but that only fueled her fire.
"It's clear that whatever you were doing, it was something you didn't want us finding out, and that won't fly in this household."
"I'm sorry, it won't happen
again,"
Dale asked, laughing a little.
"Oh, you bet your ass it won't. I don't know who you've become hanging out with this delinquent," he added, gesturing to Rhodes. "But stealing my keys and trespassing on property you know you shouldn't be on is absolutely unacceptable."
"Stop talking about him like he's not standing right next to me."
"Bug, it's fine,"
Rhodes soothed, rubbing the pad of his thumb along my hand.
"I'm just going to wait outside."
"Oh, no, you are not, young man," Mom said. She was shaking slightly, her face red and blotchy. "You are never to see my daughter again, ever. Do you hear me?" "Mom!" I choked on her name, my heart jumping to attention at her implication. It didn't slowly accelerate. It jumped. It galloped. I felt it threatening to break through the confines of my ribcage.
"Do not argue with me, Natalie. Now I have had enough of this nonsense. Rhodes was your trainer, and that was all he was ever meant to be. Clearly, he has seduced you. That much is obvious. But that all ends tonight. I will not stand for this any longer."
"Are you serious?" I cried incredulously. I dropped Rhodes' hand, stepping toward her. "Do you hear yourself? Do you hear the way you're talking about a human being who's standing right here in your kitchen?"
"This isn't up for discussion.
You don't get to decide what I do with my life."
"As long as you live under this roof, we do. Now stop disrespecting your mother and walk him out,"
Dale demanded. He wouldn't even say Rhodes' name.
"Then I'll move out."
"And go where?" Mom asked incredulously. "You're not enrolled in college, you don't have a job, and you won't have a cent to your name if you disobey us." "I'm not staying away from him." I shook my head, my eyes blurring with tears that quickly bubbled and fell over my cheeks. Faintly, I heard our front door close, and I whipped around to find Rhodes gone.
"Rhodes?"
"Just let him go, sweetie." Mom reached out to touch my hand, but I jerked back. I pled with my eyes for her to stop, for her to wake up and realize what she was doing. But she remained unmoved.
"You're awful," I whispered, my eyes bouncing between the two of them.
"Just because you have your own fucked up shit going on doesn't mean you have to drag me down with you."
"Natalie,"
Dale chastised, but I turned on my heel and sprinted out the door without another word. I expected Rhodes to be gone, but he was still standing in the driveway, hands in his pockets, facing the road. The moon had barely a sliver that night, and the darkness only made me feel more helpless as I walked slowly toward him. My steps were soft, the night was quiet, such a contrast from the war raging inside of me. Sliding my hands through the space between his arms and middle, I wrapped myself around him, pressing my forehead into the hard muscles of his back. He was shivering, just slightly, just barely enough for me to notice.
"I'm so sorry."
He cleared his throat, lifting one arm to pull me into his side.
"Don't be."
"I can't believe them. If they think I'm going to listen to them, they've seriously lost their minds."
"They're right, Natalie."
I lifted my head from his chest and glanced up at his stoic expression.
"What? Rhodes, no, they're not. They don't know anything about you."
"And you do?" he challenged, dropping his hold on me. I was suddenly so cold. Yes, I whispered, though the way he was looking at me made me feel like I shouldn't be so sure. His emerald eyes were wild, mouth pressed into a thin line, jaw set.
I'm not right for you, Natalie. I don't fit into this life, your life.
Stop, Rhodes. You know they aren't me.
But this is your life, Natalie,
he said again.
This is how it's supposed to be for you. It's what you deserve. Great parents, a nice house, a rich husband with the means to take care of you.
He licked his lower lip, his brows knitting together.
You deserve a good life, one without the pain I've already brought you, and that I know I'll bring continually over and over again. I'm trouble. I'm fucked up. I have baggage. I have weight.
You're none of those things, I argued. You're strong and passionate, and you've pushed me to be someone I never knew I could be this summer.
And that's just it, he said. That's all I am for you, Natalie. Yes, I do think I changed you this summer just the way you changed me, and that's where it ends. I'm not your prince, Bug. I'm not the one you marry and live a long, happy life with, the one you have kids with, the one you sit in a rocking chair next to when you're old.
He shook his head, but I shook mine harder. I could feel it. He was pulling back, retreating into the same shell I'd found him in just 2 months before.
I don't fit. I'm a stage for you, a chapter, and this is the last page.
Please, Rhodes. I begged, but he pushed past me to the side of the house where he'd parked his bike. I followed. You don't mean this. You said you promised yourself you were done walking away from me. You know this isn't it. This isn't over. I was on his tail every step, but he kept pace until he reached his bike. He climbed on, not saying another word. Damn it, Rhodes, look at me. It was then I noticed how hard his breaths were coming. His chest rose and fell in an unsteady rhythm, the tremble still evident in his hands. He gripped his helmet, but paused, turning to face me. His Adam's apple bobbed in his throat as he waited for my move. I knew he didn't want to leave me, but for some reason, he felt he needed to. If he was going to walk away, I wasn't going to let him do it without knowing the truth. I chose you, remember?
I didn't ask you to choose me.
You didn't ask me to love you either. He scowled, but I saw him crack beneath it.
You don't love me, Natalie.
Don't tell me what I feel, I cried. My voice was shaky, breaking with every word. I wish I didn't love you, but I do. Rhodes' eyes softened, but his lips were still pressed together. I could see it. He was trying not to feel, and I was determined to make him. It hit me all at once, like a thought or a memory of something I've known all along. I don't have a choice, Rhodes. I love you because there is no other option for me. I knew he wouldn't say it back, and I didn't expect him to. I only wanted him to stay, because in my heart I already knew he loved me. He loved me with such intensity that I should have been terrified. Instead, I was fascinated and desperate for more. My heart wasn't ready to let him go. Rhodes swallowed and his eyes fell to my lips. For a moment, I thought he might reach for me. His hand twitched where it held the straps of his helmet, and I willed him to follow through with the instinct. But he didn't. There were no physical walls to be seen, but I still watched as they slammed down around him. I watched his eyes gloss over. I watched the scowl form over his softened features, hardening them again, maybe even more so than before. Slipping the helmet over his head, he buckled the straps and gripped the handlebars, turning to face the road.
I told you that night that you were making the wrong decision, he said, his voice low.
He hesitated for just a moment before revving the engine to life.
You should have listened to me.
I squeezed my eyes shut and let two tears fall parallel down my cheeks. I kept them shut and listened to him drive away. And even when the last sound of the engine had faded and I was alone again in the still night air, I refused to open my eyes. I wouldn't watch him leave. I wouldn't face the fact that he was gone. I wouldn't admit that he left, not after what I'd told him. All that time, I had felt the break coming. I had seen the warning signs. We both had. I guess in a way, we knew it was only a matter of time before the fragile shell of our relationship cracked beneath the weight of reality. I was content to live in that dream with him until it all came crashing down and the rubble killed us both. But he had left without me. Now I was alone, clinging to the what-ifs that he refused to hear. The crack was spreading faster and faster, and I watched helplessly as it creaked across the only foundation I had ever built. I still stayed, waiting to be crushed, praying to be saved. And the only comfort I found was that, regardless of the outcome, it would all be over soon. Chapter 25. There's something so strangely satisfying about heartbreak. It's almost like if you can feel that much for anything, maybe life is worth it. There was a constant ache in my heart after Rhodes left. It wasn't dull, yet it wasn't quite sharp, but it was always present. Thoughts of him filled me with hope just as much as they crushed me. I told myself I should forget him, but I listened to songs with words that made me think of him instead. It was a repetitive, modern form of torture that I somehow found solace in. I didn't even try to reach out to him over the weekend. I weighed in by myself on Mom's scale at the house. I was down another 4 pounds, which was more than I had lost in a while. I guess when you run for hours a day and get sick at even the thought of food, that tends to happen. It wasn't a healthy diet, but I didn't know how else to handle my new reality. But it was Monday, and to me that felt like a new beginning of sorts. Crawling out of bed, I talked myself through getting dressed, taking the time to make myself look somewhat presentable. Willow made me a promise to call her after her morning class. She had taken it upon herself to check on me, like I might disappear off the face of the earth if she didn't. If only it were that easy.
"Wait, are you wearing makeup?"
Willow asked as soon as the video chat connected. "I think I'm going to go see him." Her face fell.
What?"
"Hear me out," I offered, holding up my hands. "Our normal training session starts in an hour. I figure I'll just show up. If he's there, then maybe we can talk. And if he's not, well, I'll take it as my cue to leave it alone."
"Don't you think him peeling out of your driveway should have been your cue to leave it alone?"
"He didn't peel out, Willow."
"He might as well have."
Willow's face softened a bit when she saw the sadness I knew perfectly well was outshining my makeup. She sighed.
"Look, I can't tell you what to do. I know he means a lot to you, and he's made a huge impact on your life. But look at how much you're already hurting," she said. "What if he's there with a client? I don't want my best friend to break, Nat. I still need you around."
"I don't know. I just feel like I can't not fight for him."
"You told him you loved him,"
she gently reminded me, though I felt a knife twist between my ribs anyway. "Well, I can try something else."
"Like what?"
"I don't know!" I screamed the words, breathing harder. I was losing control with every passing minute. "I have no idea what I'll say or do if he's there today, Lo, but I can't just sit here. I'm going insane."
"Come to Boone," she urged. "You can stay with me in my dorm for a while. We'll go out to some parties. You can sit in class with me. You'll see, life is a lot bigger than Paxton Beach."
My stomach lurched because just 2 months ago I was telling myself those same words. Now, it seemed nothing was bigger than Rhodes. He was all I could breathe. I didn't want to imagine life outside of Paxton Beach unless he was in it too.
"Just promise me you'll think about it, okay?"
I nodded. "Okay."
"And if you go today, just prepare for the worst."
"I think I've already experienced that." She shrugged.
"Still, you can never be too careful with your heart."
I half laughed. "Sounds like something you should sew on a pillow."
"I just might."
A soft knock at my bedroom door startled me, and when my mom peeked through, I swallowed. "I'll text you later tonight, Lo." She nodded, eyeing where my mom stood in the doorway before blowing me a kiss and ending the chat. "What?" I asked, not even bothering to look at my mom. It was a new experience for me, being disrespectful to her, but she'd taught me my entire life to never give respect to someone who didn't earn it. She was the last person who deserved my respect in that moment.
"You can't honestly still be angry with me."
I didn't respond. I was already dressed for the gym, but I packed extra clothes in my gym bag anyway. Anything to keep from looking at her.
"I'm doing this because I love you, sweetie. Trust me. I know it doesn't seem like it right now, but one day you're going to look back at this and thank me. It feels like Rhodes is everything to you right now, but it's just because you're so young, Natalie. You'll understand when you're older that this was just a phase.
Oh, cut the shit, Mom!
I spat at her, finally bringing my eyes to hers. She pursed her lips. Do not take that tone with me. I am your mother, and I know what's best for you.
Oh, is that so? I scoffed. Do you really think anything about Paxton Beach has been good for me? You think just because you married a rich man and I had new clothes and money to go out, that I should have been completely happy?
I love Dale, she said, her voice shaky. She was starting to turn red again, just like she had in the kitchen a few nights before.
Don't you dare insinuate otherwise. And the fact that you're ungrateful for all he's given us just shows me how immature you still are.
I'm not ungrateful. Yes, I know we're fortunate, but money and status aren't important to me. They never have been. All I've wanted my entire life was to feel loved without having to change. For so long, I thought maybe I had it all. Maybe I was just strange because I wasn't happy even though my life was perfect. But the truth is, I've been stuck in this false sense of security and belonging my entire life.
I shook my head, the realization hitting me as the words spilled from my lips.
Willow was my only true friend in this town, and now she's gone.
You have a lot of friends.
No, that's just it. I don't. And it's okay that you didn't see that before, because neither did I. It took Rose loving me for exactly who I am and not who I could or should be for me to realize it.
He doesn't love you, honey, she said with a sigh.
Mason loved you, and he's a good boy who will someday turn into a good man. I know you don't see it right now, and it kills me that we're fighting, but trust me, you'll understand one day. If you would just listen to me, your life will be better.
Zipping up my bag with force, I slung it over my shoulder. I'm done with this conversation. Going to the gym. Be back later.
You are not to see him, young lady, she demanded to my back as I walked away.
Try to stop me.
My hands were trembling as I pulled the Rover into the club parking lot. Killing the engine, I gripped the wheel tighter and didn't move. Why was I even here? Rhodes had walked away from me. Did I have anything more to say that would make him change his mind? Sighing, I slowly slid out of the car and walked shakily toward the entrance. The closer I got to the gym, the heavier I breathed. But that all changed when I walked through the door. I saw him immediately, almost as if no one else was in the room at all. He must have sensed me, because his blazing eyes lifted to mine and he scowled. I wasn't breathing heavy anymore. I wasn't breathing at all. There was a woman with him, but it wasn't a client. It was the same woman who had walked me into the gym that first day over 2 months ago. He was signing paperwork, and when he was finished, they shook hands and she watched with sad eyes as he walked toward me. Except he didn't stop. Rhodes brushed right past me, his body wash leaving an all-too-familiar scent in his wake. For a moment, I was stunned, but I quickly shook my daze and jogged after him. "Rhodes, wait," I pleaded just as we exited the club. It was one of those dreadful summer days where the heat suffocates you, working in a constant measure with the steady beating of the sun. It was already so hard to breathe, the humidity wasn't helping make it any easier. He didn't stop. Slinging his backpack over his shoulders, Rhodes strode purposefully toward his bike. I felt the tears starting to sting the corners of my eyes, but I refused to cry. That's not what I had come for.
Listen, I know things are complicated between us. I know the two of us together don't make sense, not to anyone else anyway. I was trying to say anything, everything to make him change his mind. I'd never babbled so much in my life.
But you're all that makes sense to me anymore.
He was still walking. I watched as the muscles moved beneath the soft fabric of his navy blue shirt.
My parents are idiots. I don't care what they think. I don't care what anyone in this town thinks.
He climbed onto his bike but paused, his helmet in his hands. One lone bead of sweat gathered on his neck before slowly trickling down.
And I know you don't either.
I waited, and for a moment he just sat there, staring at where his hands held fast to the straps of his helmet. Finally, he lifted his eyes to mine. They were soft, almost apologetic. It made me fear him more than when they were beneath his furrowed brow.
I'm leaving Paxton Beach.
The words left his lips as if they were easy to say, though his eyes told me otherwise.
Friday.
I tried to swallow, but not even dry air would go down. I sort of hiccuped, trying to control the emotions I knew were scrolling across my face, but failing miserably.
You're what? I shook my head. No, oh my God, is it Dale? Did he get you fired?
Rose didn't answer, but I watched his throat constrict with the same emotion taking over my body, and I knew the answer without him saying another word.
It doesn't matter. I don't belong in this town, and I don't want to be here anymore. There's nothing here for me, and I've known that for years now. I was stalling. I was holding on to something impossible.
What about me?
He chewed the inside of his cheek, his jaw tense, his eyes looking almost past me rather than at me. My stomach lurched, and I wrapped both of my arms tightly around it.
Oh, God, I whispered. I felt sick. I felt numb. And more than anything, I felt helpless.
Rhodes. I breathed his name, a shiver breaking through me. Please, don't go. Don't leave. I stepped closer, my hand shaking as I untucked it and reached for Rhodes. He flinched, but didn't pull away as I slid my index finger down his forearm to press hard on the inside of his wrist.
I feel your heart. It beats the same as mine, and I know you love me too.
His nostrils flared, his brows pulled in, and the slightest tremble quaked through his bottom lip. The sight of him almost breaking was all it took to completely shatter the fragile piece of myself I was trying to hold on to. When he shrugged me off, a sob choked through me, and suddenly the desperation I felt was too much. I lunged at him, shoving him hard enough to knock him off balance. He caught the weight of his bike, shutting his eyes but letting me hit him again and again.
Fine, leave!
I screamed so loud my throat hurt, my voice like a line of razor blades in my esophagus as my tiny fists pounded against his chest.
This is what you do, right? This is how it goes. I've memorized every inch of your back from all the times you walked away from me this summer.
Rhodes was chewing on the corner of his lip, a fresh tear falling in the same line down his cheek. He was hurting, too. Why was he doing this? I hit him once more before my hands flew to cover my mouth, and I sobbed. Straightening, I sniffed, shaking my head. You don't get to be the one who walks away this time. He still wouldn't look at me. I was tired of trying to make him. I took one last longing look at him, my body remembering everything he'd made me feel that summer all at once, and then I turned. I thought he'd spark his bike to life and leave me in the dust again, but he didn't. He watched me go. One final penance. I had always felt like there was this invisible string between Rhodes and me, fastened to his heart and my own. He had pulled me toward him all summer, reeling me in, and as I climbed into the rover and sped away, I felt the string snap, knocking me backward with the force. I choked, covering my mouth with the hand not glued to the wheel, muffling my cries. He was leaving me, really leaving me, and there was nothing I could do about it. In less than a week, he'd be free of Poxton Beach, of me. But I would never be free of him. I was getting a crash course in love and loss, and I knew in my heart I wouldn't be able to survive the wreckage without Rhodes to help me find the rest of my missing pieces. But he wasn't giving me that choice. I either had to pull myself together on my own or stay broken. I hated both options.
Chapter 26.
It was interesting to compare my breakup with Mason to the one I was having with Rhodes. Even though we hadn't technically been in an official relationship, I felt more for him in 2 months than I had ever felt with Mason in the 2 years we'd dated. Still, it's like my mind wouldn't let me pout the way that I did with Mason. I could almost hear Rhodes in my head, yelling at me not to wallow, screaming for me to be strong and pick myself up. Move forward, forget, leave it behind. I didn't try reaching out to Rhodes again. Instead, I threw all of my focus into myself. For 2 days, I just thought. I would run to think, take an ice bath to think, sit outside by our pool to think, call Willow to think out loud, dream with what little sleep I was getting. I was asking myself all the tough questions I had let myself ignore all summer. What did I want to do next? Where did I want to go? What mattered to me? In a way, I was avoiding making any moves because Rhodes was here, in Poxton Beach, and so that's where I wanted to be. And before I met him, before he was the anchor,
I just hadn't thought about what I truly wanted aside from the fact that I didn't want to go to Appalachian State and be like everyone else in my class. So, after swallowing back all the fear and self-doubt, I put in my application to the Savannah College of Art and Design. I didn't tell Mom or Dale, not that I was talking to them at all anyway, but I did tell Willow, who screamed over video chat for a solid 60 seconds. She was half screaming because she was excited for me and half screaming because I wasn't going to be anywhere near her if I got in. All I could think while we talked was that I really wanted to tell Rhodes. I wanted to see the wide grin spread across his face and watch as his eyes sparkled with pride. I wanted him to pull me in for a long kiss. I wanted him to be there. But he just wasn't. Still, I felt him all around me. A part of me wondered if maybe I would always have that sensation. It was strangely comforting, just as much as it was terribly agonizing. My mom always told me before I could love anyone else, I'd have to learn to love myself. But I didn't believe that anymore. I was beginning to realize it takes a special heart, one stronger than our own, loving us for us to realize that maybe there's something worth loving after all. Maybe it was about finding love in the one person who loved you before you had the chance to love yourself. For me, that someone was William Rhodes. And I was forever changed by his love, regardless of the fact that I wouldn't get to keep it. I couldn't sit still the night before Rhodes was supposed to leave town. I had woken up that morning with a sickening weight in my stomach. Looking back, it's like I could feel what was coming, almost as if I knew that day, July 23rd, was going to be the last day I would ever be the person I was. Something was brewing, but I didn't know what. In my desperate attempt to keep myself busy and not thinking about Rhodes and the fact that he was leaving in less than 24 hours, I had decided to watch the last three episodes of Lost. But when the final episode ended, I simply clicked off the television and stared at the dark screen, thinking back to the beginning of the summer. Dale was right, I shouldn't have watched it. Feeling even more lost than before, I strapped on my running sneakers and watch. Mom popped her head into my room just as I was piling my hair into a messy bun on top of my head. "Going for a run?" I nodded, pulling my hair tight and checking my watch battery. "I'm not feeling very well, so I think I'm just going to go to bed." She waited for me to acknowledge her words. Maybe she wanted me to wish her better. Maybe she just wanted me to understand her wise view of the world. I didn't do either. She sighed. "I love you, baby girl. I know you hate me right now, and I wish I could tell you how much that breaks my heart." Her eyes welled with tears, and I felt that familiar sting and tingle in my nose. Mom and I had always been close, and we'd never fought like this before. Still, I couldn't find it in myself to forgive her without an apology first. "Just know I'm always here for you, no matter what, and I really do care about your best interest." At that last line, I rolled my eyes. "Okay, well, I'm going to go run a couple of miles. I'll be back soon." One single tear dropped straight from her high cheekbone to my floor, and she hastily wiped at the trail it left behind. "Good night, sweetie." I ducked out of my room right behind her. She went left toward the master bedroom and I went right, jogging quickly down the stairs and out into the warm evening air. The sun was beginning to set, streaking the sky with bright, fiery oranges and pinks. Thumbing through my phone for the right playlist, I strapped it to my arm and tapped a few settings on my watch. Then I ran. Each step struck every nerve in my body. I felt myself tearing at the seams and being reborn all at once. I was in such an unfamiliar place mentally, the only way I knew how to get out of my head was to get into my body. So I focused on each foot hitting the pavement. I tried counting the steps as my watch counted the calories, but when I clicked over to voice mode, every word that left my lips was about Rhodes. Some of what I spoke into my watch made sense. Some of it was just a string of broken sentences about memories and feelings I would never understand nor forget. I ran and ran until my chest ached and sweat leaked into my eyes to replace the salt lost in the tears I'd shed. It wasn't that I was sad, but it wasn't that I was okay either. I was stuck in a confusing limbo, a sort of healing purgatory. When I couldn't run anymore, I walked. When I could barely walk, I hobbled,
Blisters were forming on my heels and my legs burned fiercely, but I kept going. I spilled my thoughts to the watch and my sweat to the road. Finally, at just past 11, I limped up the drive, into the house and up the stairs to my room. Sprawling out on the floor, I stared up at the ceiling, but my eyes quickly lost focus. I don't know how much time passed. Maybe it was an hour, maybe it was only a minute. But sometime in the future, my daze was broken by the soft buzzing of my cell phone on the carpet. I blindly felt for it, answering it without looking at the screen and holding it to my ear. "I'm fine, Willow."
"Bug?"
The sound of his voice jerked me upright. "Rhodes?" Silence.
"I can't not see you tonight,"
he finally said. I could hear the pain in his words. It was like he'd been fighting them for so long that finally letting them slip into the atmosphere killed him a little.
"I'm still leaving in the morning, and I can't promise you anything more than tonight. I know I treated you like shit because I somehow always managed to fuck up the best things in my life."
He exhaled, slowly breathing life back into me.
"I don't deserve for you to come over, but I'm asking you anyway."
I bit my bottom lip with enough force to draw blood. Relief washed over me at the same time the delicious ache from running echoed through my muscles. He wanted to see me. Nothing more, nothing less, but it was just enough to reaffirm the hope I'd been clinging to. "Give me 15.
"Bug?"
"Yeah?" There was a pause, and I felt my heart rate accelerate.
"Hurry."
I debated not showering, but one look in the mirror changed my mind. I could barely stand as the hot water washed over me. My body was caught in a mixture of the anticipation to see Rhodes and the extreme fatigue from my run. Adrenaline could only push me so far before the aches would take over. Still, I hurried through the shower and dressed in shorts and a tank top, throwing my still wet hair up into a bun. Foregoing makeup, I looked at myself one last time before quietly sneaking out of my room. Tiptoeing down the stairs, I willed my heart to calm itself so I could make it the rest of the way out of the house without being detected. Mom had ripped into me after I had ran out to see Rhodes at the club earlier that week. I didn't want to take the chance of her catching me now and keeping me from him. My hand reached for the handle on our front door just as a deep voice rang out through the darkness.
"Going somewhere?"
I jumped, turning quickly and scanning the black foyer until I spotted Dale. He was kicked back in the recliner next to the couch, hands folded in his lap, amused smirk on his face. I could barely make him out, but the soft light from the kitchen illuminated him just enough for me to realize he wasn't sober. "Great." "Jesus, Dale," I said, blowing out a breath. "You scared me." He didn't respond. "I'm just going out for a run. I know it's late, but I can't sleep."
"A run, huh?"
I swallowed, realizing I probably wasn't too convincing at that moment. Thankfully, I had forgotten to take off my watch. Holding up my wrist, I smiled. "Yep, got my watch set and my shoes are out in the rover. Just going to throw them on and get started. I won't go too far." He laughed, but it wasn't the laugh I was so familiar with. It seemed sinister, and suddenly the hairs on my arms were at attention.
"You honestly expect me to believe that, don't you?"
He shook his head, folding the recliner down with a pop. He was sitting up straight now, his eyes hard on me even through the dim light.
"Your hair is still wet from the shower I just heard you taking upstairs. You went for a run earlier, and I know that because your mom told me just before she took her sleeping pills. I can see why you think you'd be able to sneak out easily, what with those things knocking her out and all. But unfortunately for you, I'm still here, and I see right through your little charade. You're sneaking out to see him, and I can tell you right now, that's not going to happen."
My throat was tight, my hands cold. "Dale, please," I begged. I hated the shakiness of my voice. I wanted to demand respect, I wanted to storm out, but I knew Dale. He wanted to feel like everything was his decision. My only chance of seeing Rhodes was to make him think that this was. "You got what you wanted. Rhodes is leaving. I'm never going to see him again. Just, please, give me tonight." Hoping to play into the father-daughter relationship, I even tried a joke. "I watched the last episode of Lost today. Have some pity." I laughed, and a smile creaked over his lips, but it fell too quickly for my taste. Standing, Dale made his way into the foyer, crossing his arms over his chest. He scanned me from head to toe with glazed eyes, that same smug smirk reappearing as he did. I could tell he was on something, but I didn't know what.
He really did do a number on you, didn't he?
I gulped, stepping back but running straight into the front door. Dale, you're not thinking straight.